Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of Have You Not Heard? Today we are doing part 6 on healing from trauma, and we are going to begin to talk about the good that can come out of trauma. Not that trauma and tragedy is good itself, but good things can come out of it. So we're going to look at post-traumatic growth, resilience, and grit. So get ready. Here we go. All right, as we dive into part 6, man, we all know that this year's been an extreme hardship for most people. Well, everybody. I don't know who can say it has not been. So many health issues and COVID alarms that go off like minute by minute almost. We've lost loved ones, jobs. There's been racial tensions, economic woes, worries, the schooling situation. I mean, the list goes on. And there's so much uncertainty. And then now we have the election. And as I record this, the election has not happened yet, but it will be by the time I post this. So who knows what will be going on there. There's a lot of depression and anxiety and fear and distrust and hopelessness and loneliness and many, many to the point of suicide. So we could say this has been a tough year. And yet there's been so many blessings through it. The Bible is not a stranger to trauma and tragedy. It is all over. Jeremiah, our weeping prophet, Job, who went through so much torment and pain. Paul himself in 2 Corinthians talks about his list of traumas. Mary Magdalene, who was delivered from 7 demons. I am sure she had some trauma, even though that wasn't specifically delineated. The list goes on. And then, of course, we've got Jesus himself, who went through one of the most traumatic deaths ever for our sake. But let's listen to the words of Jeremiah as we launch into this. This is out of Lamentations 3, starting with verse 19. And Jeremiah's words, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Man, what an introduction to resilience, to post-traumatic growth, to grit. Jeremiah is a great example of that. So there are 6 core human longings that we all have. We have the need for significance, for safety, for purpose, for understanding, for belonging, and for love. And trauma and tragedy interrupts those things, or maybe it feels like it destroys those things within you. So all those core human longings were met in the Garden of Eden. And we all have a need for those, and we're all searching that out. They can all be found in Christ, and yet we tend to look elsewhere for them to get met. God did deem good that we have human companionship, but the fulfillment of those core needs are met through Christ first. Because if we don't get them met through Christ first, then we demand of humans what only God can give us. So as trauma and tragedy interrupt or break or seemingly destroy those human longings, then we tend to go into that despair and depression and hopelessness. Yet we have found that in psychology, they are now supporting what God says has been true all along. Isaiah 61 says that God takes trauma and tragedy and brings beauty out of it. Beauty out of the ashes, praise instead of mourning, and joy instead of despair. And he makes us an oak of righteousness, planted for his glory, and then we get to go on and help others renew, rebuild, and restore. So again, a beautiful biblical picture of post-traumatic growth and resilience. So let's unpack first what all that looks like in psychology, and then we'll weave our way back to the Bible. So resilience is a fairly new concept. It was made known by Dr. Dan Siegel in 2010. It demonstrates how our thoughts and experiences literally shape the physical connections between the various parts of our brain. So our mind, what we think, our brain, the actual substance, and our relationships are a continuous feedback. And they are, it's like a loop, and they give information to each other. And his model demonstrates that our mind, our brain, and our relationships are an open system, and that is continually responding to new experiences. And again, that goes to the fact that our brains can be changed, that neuroplasticity that we've been talking about through this series. So that's the good news of health and growth, even through trauma, because our brains can change and new experiences can change the way you think and behave today, no matter what has happened in the past. As we've talked about, the trauma itself will implant thoughts in your brain, and you can control that. You can have new thoughts that will replace the old thoughts. You can have new experiences with people through community and trusted friends and through prayer, and that can replace the old experiences. I've watched that happen over and over again through my years of healing prayer with people, and I've already talked about that on other episodes, but it is fascinating to watch. You can also decide to live in the real world of today. What is your today like? You know, trauma and tragedy and the thoughts and the feelings that come with it want us to either go back into what happened or anxiously look at what might happen. So we either live in fear and shame of the past or fear and anxiety of the future. And God is telling us, and psychology supports it, that today is the only day that we have jurisdiction to deal with. And so if you focus on today, what is your today like? It is, you're not in that trauma anymore. You are okay despite all the stuff going on around you. You do have resources, whatever your reality is. And I know some of your reality is more dire, and you can't say those things, but you can always say that Christ is with you, because that is truth, and you can hang on to that. And that changes things, because it changes your focus. So much of resilience and this post-traumatic growth is not about the circumstances, but it's about how it changes us and the goodness that can happen within our thought life, our character, and our spirit. So resilience tells us that it is possible. And some people need to work on that depending on their past. Other people are just kind of more naturally prone to that, but it's something that we can all build and strengthen on. So it's an equal opportunity to be able to strengthen our resilience. And post-traumatic growth talks about the area of that are affected by resilience. And a definition of post-traumatic growth is it's a positive psychological change experienced as a result of adversity and other challenges in order to rise to a higher level of functioning. The general concept that trauma can lead to positive change is a common theme that has appeared in religious and philosophical teaching for thousands of years. Hello, again, the Bible is supported here. But it wasn't until the mid-1990s that the terms post-traumatic growth was coined by two psychologists. So you've heard that phrase, probably you can either grow bitter or better. Well, the better is the post-traumatic growth. And there's five general areas that it looks at. The appreciation of life. We can grow to appreciate life more when you've had trauma and tragedies. Relationship with others. You know, I think even in the COVID, we are learning to appreciate our relationships more, right? Either the ones we have or the ones that we're missing. But relationships have been highlighted during this. And I pray that your relationship with God has been the most highlighted, how important it is. And another area is new possibilities. Man, I know that I've been in transition even before COVID hit, but especially during COVID. And I've heard of so many people in transition, changing how they're doing things, even changing their work and their career path and all kinds of changes going on. So there's new possibilities, and change is very scary because us as humans, we don't like it. We like our comfort, but in Christ and even in good psychology, new possibilities bring life. And personal strength is another area that you can grow stronger in your resilience, in your ability to bounce back, in your ability to move forward through obstacles and difficult things. And then, of course, spiritual change. We are praying and hoping that you grow spiritually through the traumas and through this period of time. So five areas: appreciation of life, relationship with others, new possibilities in life, personal strength, and spiritual change. Those are lenses that we get to explore through the trauma. And grit is another psychological factor that a woman named Angela Duckworth coined some of her research. And she found that grit is a positive non-cognitive trait based on an individual's perseverance of effort combined with the passion for a particular long-term or end state. So a goal that we're passionate about. So some people I know have been feeling very hopeless through these times because a lot of things have been either taken away or dismantled in your life. But if you could pray, if you could ask for God to give you your new goal, what is the new passion that He has for you, then that can bring life to you. And the ability to stick with it and to do it one step at a time and to not let the hurdles overcome you. So as you build resistance, as you work on your thought life and you create healthy relationships or put yourself in a place that you have healthy relationships, your mind can be renewed, your brain can get healing. And you build that resilience, and the post-traumatic growth starts to show up. You start to have gratitude, appreciation for life and for your relationships. You start to see that what God says is true, that with man it may be impossible, but with God it is possible. And you work on that character that he talks about, what perseverance creates in us. As we persevere through hardships, our character gets strengthened, and then we get to hand out hope to somebody else. And that builds our character and our personal strength, and it enhances our spiritual life, and it gives us more hope. So it's just a continual feedback loop of positivity. But even more than that, in the spirit, it's life, and it's life abundant. So, you know, God said in his word, we will have tragedy. We will have trauma. Life is going to be hard. Anybody that preaches a gospel other than that, it's not the full gospel. Because if Jesus suffered and gave up his life to give us life, then you know, we're going to have to suffer too in order for life to come. And there's no suffering that doesn't go through Jesus's hands when you're a believer in Christ. So it is not going to have the upper hand. It will never have the final say. But it can be used to strengthen us and to glorify God, because that's why we're here as Christians. We are here to glorify God. So whether it's through the election, whether it's through your own trauma, whether it's through the COVID, racial relations, whatever it is, our job as Christians is to work on our own resilience, our post-traumatic growth, and to take that grit that comes from the Holy Spirit so we can overcome through his power and we can glorify him and his name. So now that we get a picture of what that is in psychology, we go back to God's word and through Jeremiah. And he's saying, this is again, Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 21. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. So these are these thoughts, the ruminating thoughts, the thoughts about what has happened. And then he goes on to say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So now he's beginning to take his thoughts captive. He's beginning to look at his thought life and think true thoughts about God. And he goes to say in verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So he's recalling what is true about God. And that's one way we can renew our thoughts. It's another way we can stay in our real world, the world of today. What is true today? These are truths because God never changes. Now, again, our feelings, our emotions may want to reject that truth because of experiences. But hang on, because the more that you even say these words, even if you don't 100% believe them, even if you only 5% believe them, they begin bringing life to your soul. So Jeremiah knows this because he says, I say to myself. So he starts speaking truth to himself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. You can speak truth to yourself no matter what's going on. It's a choice, and it's a good choice. So then it goes on to say, the Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that reminds me of Isaiah 30:15 that says, in quietness and confidence is my strength. So when we wait on the Lord, his salvation, meaning his presence will come. He promises he'll bring peace. He has healing on his wing. It brings us strength. It gives us that resilience. It enables us to be grateful, to appreciate life and all those post-traumatic growth things. So this is a picture of overcoming our trauma. Just one picture in the Bible. And there's so many that I could point to. But I want to share with you a true testimony of somebody that I had the privilege of walking through life with. I'm going to call her PJ. And she is now in her mid to upper 60s. She had been on a journey of healing for a lot of years before she walked into my office, and she was pretty hopeless and pretty downcast, kind of like Jeremiah was talking about, that her soul was downcast. She believed in God, but she was disillusioned with the church, with the church people, because she had tried so many things and nothing had worked, meaning she didn't have freedom. She was still bound by her past abuse and trauma. And it just so happened that I was one of the last people on the chain of people that God had brought into her life to bring her into full healing. You know, I think some of the times healing is imperceptible and we don't think anything's happening. It's like our body often. We're sick, we start taking some medicine and we still feel sick, and sometimes even the symptoms get worse before they get better. But that medicine is in you doing a thing in your body, attacking the toxins, attacking the viruses, attacking the bacteria, whatever it is, to bring healing. And God is at work in us when we pursue Him. But there's often just a lot of things that are hidden and that need to get dealt with before we can even tangibly experience the healing, and certainly before we can walk into fullness of the healing. So that was PJ's story. And I had the privilege of weeping with her, of hearing her story of trauma, and not just the original trauma, but the traumas on top of the trauma, through her experiences of trying to get healing. And you might say, why would God allow that to happen? I honestly don't know. I don't know. You know, if I was God, it wouldn't happen that way. But good thing I'm not God, because a lot of other things probably would happen that shouldn't happen. It is part of the mystery. And I don't mean to make light of that, because I've wrestled with that myself. But basically, I've come to believe that I don't want to be able to understand the creator of the universe, because if I do, then I bring him down to my image. And I need a God, and I hope you need a God that is bigger and more powerful and sees infinitely and eternally, and can do infinitely and eternally things that we cannot do, because that is our hope and that's our salvation. So I had the privilege of being with her and literally holding her as she wept, literally kind of reparenting her in a sense, as Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did what only He could do within her soul and with those memories and with those beliefs. And He started changing how she thought. She started seeing things differently and being able to see where God was in the darkness. And it took a while, because it was really, really dark. And she had been so afraid, that little child in her was so afraid to even hope or believe. And I know some of you relate to that right now, that your little child, that inner child, is just hiding and is afraid to hope. And I want to say right now to that child that there is light in the darkness. And just like in a dark room, if you take a deep breath, if you can calm yourself, and I'm asking Holy Spirit to calm you right now, and take a deep breath and give you something to feel more secure. Maybe it's just the hope that I'm giving you. Maybe it's the sound of my voice. Maybe it's something in the spirit that He'll give you. But as you wait and watch, you begin to see where the light is, and you can begin to move towards that light. Just like Jeremiah talked about, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. He is faithful and he will come through. So as PJ was able to do that, and like PJ, you may need some help from somebody else. And that's why we're here together. We're not to journey all by ourselves. So just like PJ, you can begin to see light in the darkness. So as that happened, she began to have different thoughts. She began to see where Jesus was. She began to get layers and layers of healing. And it did take a while. I don't remember how long, but it wasn't an overnight thing, but it was a continual step by step by step. So it took that perseverance. It took that grit. I had to hold out hope for her and that goal that I was passionate about because I'd seen so many people healed and I knew it was possible. And I want to hold out that hope for you. And I pray that somebody will come along and hold out that hope for you, or that you can be that somebody that can hold out the hope for somebody else so they can continue to persevere, can continue to work on resilience, can continue to work on the post-traumatic growth. So as that happened, new life kept coming to her, coming to her, coming to her. And it was beautiful to watch. It was almost like a flower that was just unfolding. So we fast forward. She moved away about 2 years ago. And I just got to reconnect with her and hear her update. And even before she left, she was free. We had finished our work together. She was free in the Lord. And yet she hadn't yet reconnected to church. So there was still some more growth that was going to be happening. She was able to forgive her perpetrator, and God in his ordained timing allowed her to visit and have a face-to-face encounter with her perpetrator that she initiated because she knew that would bring her more freedom and him freedom. He came to know Christ through that. And then not long after that, he passed away. So she has the gift of knowing not only her freedom because of forgiveness, but that he was set free because she was enabled to forgive like that. So that was a glorious thing. And then she reconnected with family, and she actually moved to be with her family. And so it'd been over 2 years, we reconnected. Of course, life's troubles had still been going on, but she has seen God's goodness in the middle of it. She is now connected to a church that she loves and she feels very safe in and very solidly biblically grounded in. And these are her words. She said, "I'd never thought I'd enjoy life here on earth." But what she's realized is God helped her position herself to receive healing. And that is essential for this post-traumatic growth to happen, that you can position yourself to receive healing. How do you do that? You just say, "God, I believe, help my unbelief." You open your hands like we've talked about. You come to God. You search out his word. You ask somebody else to pray for you or help you because you're struggling. You just be honest. And you don't have to be totally 100% in. You just have to turn. It's kind of like the prodigal son. As soon as he turned towards home, his father came running out to greet him. God will do that for you. But she never thought she'd enjoy life here on earth. She is so happy. She can't even contain herself when you talk to her. I wish you could talk to her because you would hear the passion and joy in her life. And she said, "There is a way, always with a way with God. God never allowed the evil to destroy the essence of who I am." And that was the ultimate healing for her when he showed her that, yes, awful things happened to her body. Awful things were told to her, spoken about her, that impacted her identity and how she felt about herself, but the essence, her spirit, the soul that God created in her mother's womb was protected. And now she's living out of that fully. And that is what we can all gain and we can all have. And that is what brings post-traumatic growth. And I pray that you press in to this resilience, this post-traumatic growth, this grit that can come to you through the Holy Spirit. And good sound psychology helps us to see it more clearly and grab a hold of it. So I'm grateful for good sound psychology. But the truth is that God, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, is what brings you life and life abundant. So let me pray for that. Lord, I pray that the souls that have heard this today will receive, will cling to the truth that you bring healing through trauma, out of trauma, out of the darkness, you can bring light and life. So I pray that they begin to see you. I pray they begin to hear your truth. I pray that they begin to have the old experience covered over by a new experience in whatever way you ordain that, Lord, whether it's through human interaction or straight from the Holy Spirit, or it's as they're reading your words of life in the Bible, that it comes alive to them, that it transforms their soul. But I ask you to do what only you can do in their bodies, their mind and will and emotions, to be able to thrive through trauma and tragedy. It is possible. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. And as I've been praying lately for other things, Lord, do it again. Would you do it again for the ones that are listening today, the ones that will listen in the future, because your word never changes. Thank you, Lord, for healing and hope that rises above any darkness. And help us, Lord, to cling to that and believe in you and bring that to others so that more life can come here on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thanks for joining me, you guys. I pray that this is a word of hope and even more than that, a word of healing that God would do in you as you listen and maybe share it with somebody that you know needs hope and healing. And if you'd help me get the word out, you can rate and review the podcast because that helps more people find it. That would be awesome. It's really not that hard to do. I know a lot of you think you can't do it, but I believe in you. And also, I just want to give you a heads up about where we're going. I was going to do my spiritual fitness series based on the book of Ephesians, but Holy Spirit has kind of redirected me, and I'm going to wait for the new year to do that. Won't that be, you know, appropriate when we're all trying to get fit for the new year? And I feel led to continue on this series. I'm going to look at shame, fear, loneliness, and anxiety specifically in how we can use resilience and post-traumatic growth and grit to overcome those. So that's what's going to be coming up, and I might have a fun episode with my friend Kathleen thrown in the middle just to get some lightness. But again, no matter what's going on with the election or the world, remember that God is on his throne. He is moving, and his kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven, as we trust him, as we surrender to him, as we obey. And then we have life and life abundant, and we have that to give to others. That's how we change the world, you guys. We can do this one step at a time. Have a good week. I bless you in Jesus' name, and I look forward to talking to you next week. This is Angel H. Davis signing off.